Chapter 4, The Life and Labors of Heracles. Heracles was the son of Zeus, but he was born into the family of a mortal king. When he was still a youth, being overwhelmed by a madness sent upon him once by one of the goddesses, he slew the children of his brother Iphicles. Then, coming to know what he had done, sleep and rest went upon him, and he went to Delphi to the shrine of Apollo to be purified of his crime. At Delphi, at the shrine of Apollo, the priestess purified him, and when she had purified him, she uttered this prophecy: "From this day forth, thy name shall be not Alcides, but Heracles. Thou shalt go into Erechtheus, thy cousin in Mycenae, and serve him in all things. When the labors he shall lay upon thee are accomplished, and when the rest of thy life is lived out, thou shalt become one of the immortals." Heracles, on hearing these words, set out for Mycenae. He stood before his cousin who hated him. He, a towering man, stood before a king who sat there weak and trembling. And Heracles said, "I have come to take up the labors that you will lay upon me. Speak now, Erechtheus, and tell me what you would have me do." Erechtheus, that weak king, looking on the young man who stood as tall and firm as one of the immortals, had a heart that was filled with hatred. He lifted up his head and he said with a frown, "There is a lion in Nemea that is stronger and more fierce than any lion known before. Kill that lion and bring the lion's skin to me, that I may know that you have truly performed your task." So Erechtheus said, and Heracles, with neither shield nor arms, went forth from the king's palace to seek and combat the lion of Nemea. He went on until he came to the country where the fences were overthrown and the fields wasted and the houses empty and fallen. He went on until he came to the waste around that land. There he came on the trail of the lion. It led up to the side of the mountain, and Heracles, without shield or arms, followed the trail. He heard the roar of the lion. Looking up, he saw the beast standing at the mouth of the cavern, huge and dark against the sunset. The lion roared 3 times, and then it went within the cavern. Around the mouth were strewn the bones of creatures it had killed and carried there. Heracles looked upon them, and when he came to the cavern, he went within. Far into the cavern he went, and there he came to where he saw the lion. It was sleeping. Heracles viewed the terrible bulk of the lion, and when he looked upon it, his own knotted hands and arms, he remembered that it was told him that, while still a child of 8 months, he had strangled a great serpent, and that had come to his hip cradle to devour him. He had grown, and his strength had grown too. So he stood measuring his strength and the size of the lion. The breath of his mouth and nostrils came heavily to him, and as the beast slept, he gorged with its prey. The lion yawned. Heracles sprang on it and put his great hands upon its throat. No growl came upon its mouth, but the gray eyes blazed while the terrible paws tore at Heracles. Against the rock, Heracles held the beast. Strongly he held it, choking it through the skin, that it was almost impenetrable. Terribly the lion struggled, but the strong hands of the hero held around its throat until it struggled no more. When Heracles stripped off the impenetrable skin from the lion's body, he put it upon himself for a cloak. Then, as he went through the forest, he pulled up a young oak tree and trimmed it and made a club for himself, with the lion skin over him, that skin that no spear or arrow could pierce. And carrying the club in his hand, he journeyed on until he came to the palace of King Eurystheus. The king, seeing coming toward him a towering man, all covered with the hide of the monstrous lion, ran and hid himself in a great jar. He lifted the lid up to ask the servants what was the meaning of this terrible appearance, and the servants told him that it was Heracles who had come back with the skin of the lion of Nemea. On hearing this, Eurystheus hid himself again. He would not speak with Heracles nor have him come near him, so fearful was he. But Heracles was content to be left alone. He sat down in the palace and feasted himself. The servants came to the king. Eurystheus lifted the lid of the jar, and they told him how Heracles was feasting and devouring all the goods in the palace. The king flew into a rage, but still he was fearful of having a hero before him. He issued commands through his heralds, ordering Heracles to go forth at once and perform the second of his tasks. It was to slay the great water snake that had made its lair in the swamps of Lerna. Heracles stayed to feast another day, and then, with the lion skin across his shoulders and the great club in his hands, he started off. But this time he did not go alone. A boy, Aeolus, went with him. Heracles and Aeolus went on until they came to the vast swamp of Lerna. Right in the middle of the swamp was the water snake that was called the Hydra. 9 heads it had, and it raised them up out of the water as the hero and his companion came near. They could not cross the swamp to come to the monster, for a man or beast could sink and be lost in it. The Hydra remained in the middle of the swamp, belching mud at the hero and his companion. Then Heracles took up his bow and he shot flaming arrows at its head. It grew into such a rage that it came into through the swamp to attack him. Heracles swung his club. As the Hydra came near, he knocked head after head off its body. But for every head knocked off, 2 grew upon the Hydra. And as he struggled with the monster's huge crab, a huge crab came out of the swamp and, gripping Heracles' foot by the foot, tried to draw him in. Then Heracles cried out, "The boy Aeolus came." He killed the crab that had come to the Hydra's aid. Then Heracles laid hands upon the Hydra and drew it out of the swamp. With his club, he knocked off a head, and he and Aeolus put fire to where it had been, so that the 2 heads might not grow in that place. The life of the Hydra was in its middle head, the head that he had not been able to knock off with his club. Now with his hands, he tore it off, and he placed this head under the great stone, so that it could not rise into life again. The Hydra's life was now destroyed. Heracles dipped his arrows into the gall of the monster, making the arrows deadly. No thing that was struck by these arrows afterward would keep its life. Again, he came to Eurystheus' palace, and Eurystheus, seeing him, ran again and hid himself in the jar. Heracles ordered the servants to tell the king that he had returned, and that second labor was accomplished. Eurystheus, hearing from the servants that Heracles was mild in his ways, came out of the jar. Innocently, he spoke. "12 labors you have to accomplish for me," he said to Heracles, "and 11 yet remain to be accomplished. How? Heracles, said Heracles, have I not performed two of the labors? Have I not slain the lion of Lemnia and the great water snake of Lerna? In the killing of the water snake, you were helped by Iolaus, said the king, snapping out his words and knowing at Heracles with shifting eyes. That labor cannot be allowed to you. Heracles would have struck him to the ground, but then he remembered what the crime he had committed in his madness would have to be expiated by labors performed in the order of this man. He looked full upon Eurystheus, and he said, tell me the other labors, and I will go forth from Mycenae and accomplish them. Eurystheus bade him go and make clean the stables of King Aegeus. Heracles came into that king's country. The smell from the stables was felt for miles around. Countless herds of cattle and goats had been in stables for years, and because of the uncleanness and the smell that came from it, the crops were withered all around. Heracles told that the king he would clean the stables if he was given 1/10 of the cattle and the goats for a reward. The king agreed to this reward. Then Heracles drove the cattle and the goats out of the stables. He broke through the foundations and he made channels for the two rivers Alpheus and Peneus. The waters flowed through the stables, and in the day all the uncleanness was washed away. Then Heracles turned the rivers back to their own courses. He was not given the reward that he bargained for, however. He was sent back to Mycenae with the tale how he had cleaned the stables. 10 labors remain for me to do now, he said. 11, said Eurystheus. How can I allow cleaning of Aegeus' stables to you when you bargained for a reward for doing it? Then, while Heracles stood still, holding himself back from striking him, Eurystheus ran away and hid himself in the dark. Through his heralds, he sent the word to Heracles, telling him that the other labors would be. He was cleared to the marshes of Stymalus of the man-eating birds that gathered there. He was to capture and bring to the king the golden-horned deer of Granaea, and he also was to capture and bring alive to Mycenae the boar of Erymanthus. Heracles came to the marshes of Stymphalus. The growth of the jungle was so dense that he could not cut his way through where the man-eating birds were. They sat upon low bushes within the jungle, gorging themselves upon flesh as they had carried there. For days, Heracles tried to hack his way through. He could not get to where the birds were. Then, thinking he might not be able to accomplish this labor, he sat upon the ground in despair. It was then that one of the immortals appeared to him. For the first and only time, he was given help from the gods. It was Athena who had come to him. She stood apart from Heracles, holding in her hands brazen cymbals. These she clashed together. At the sound of this clashing, the Cymthian birds rose up from the low bushes behind the jungle. Heracles shot at them with those unerring arrows of his. The man-eating birds fell one after the other into the marsh. Heracles went forth to where the Coryneian deer took her pasture. So swift of foot that she was no hound nor hunter had ever been able to overtake her. For the whole year Heracles kept golden horns in chase, and at last, at the side of the mountain Artemisian, he caught her. Artemis, the goddess of wild things, would have punished Heracles for capturing the deer, but the hero pleaded with her, and she relented and agreed to let him bring the deer to Mycenae and show her to King Eurystheus and Hermes took charge of the golden horns while Heracles went off to capture the Amyrtian boar. He came to the city of Bosphus, the inhabitants of which were in deadly fear because of the ravages of the boar. Heracles made up his way up to the mountain to hunt it. Now on his mountain, a band of centaurs lived, and they, knowing him since the time they had been fostered by Chiron, welcomed Heracles. One of them, Phallus, took Heracles to the great forest where the centaurs had their wine stored. Seldom did the centaurs drink wine. A draft of it made them wild, so they stored it away, leaving it in a charge of one of their band. Heracles begged Phallus to give him a draft of wine. After he had begged again and again, the centaur opened one of his great jars. Heracles drank wine and spilled it. Then the centaurs that were without smelt of the wine came hammering at the door, demanding the drafts that would make them wild. Heracles came forth to drive them away. They attacked him. Then he shot at them with his unwearying arrows and drove them away. Up the mountain and away to the far rivers, the centaurs raced, pursued by Heracles with his bow. One was slain, Phallus, the centaur who had entertained him. By accident, Heracles dropped the poisoned arrow on his foot. He took the body of Phallus up the top of the mountain and buried the centaur there. Afterward, on the snows of Eurymetheus, he sent a snare of the boar and caught him there. Upon his shoulders, he carried the boar to Mycenae, and he led the deer by her golden horns. When Eurystheus had looked upon them, the boar was slain, but the deer loosened, and she fled. And she fled back to the mountain of Artemisia. King Eurystheus sat hidden in the great jar, and he thought of more terrible labors he would make Heracles engage in. Now he would send him overseas to make him strive with the fierce tribes and more dreaded monsters. When he had it all thought out, he had Heracles brought before him, and he told him of these other labors. There he was to go to the savage Thrace, and there destroy the man-eating horses of King Diomedes. Afterwards, he was to go amongst the dread women, the Amazons, daughter of Ares, daughters of Ares, the god of war, and take from their queen Hippolyte the griddle that Ares had given her. And he was to go to Crete to take from the keeping King Minos the beautiful bull that Poseidon had given him. Afterward, he was to go to the island of Etheria to take away from Geronius the monster that had three bodies instead of one, the herd of red cattle that the two-headed hound Orpheus kept guard over. Then he was to go to the garden of the Hesperides. From that garden he was to take the golden apples that Zeus had given Hera for a marriage gift. There, in the garden of Hesperides, was no mortal knew. So Heracles set out a long and perilous quest. First he went to Thrace, that savage land that was ruled over by Diomedes, son of Ares, the war god. Heracles broke into the stable where the horses were. He caught three of them by their heads, and although they kicked and bit and trampled, he forced them out of the stable and down the seashore, where his companion Abderus waited for him. The screams of the fierce horses were heard by the men of Thrace, and they, with their king, came after Heracles. He left the horses in charge of Abderus, while they fought the Thracians and their savage king. Heracles shot his deadly arrows amongst them, and then he fought with their king. He drove him from the seashore, and then he came back to where he left Abderus with the horses. They had thrown Abderus upon the ground, and they were trampling upon him. Heracles drew his bow, and he shot the horses with the unwearing arrows that were dipped with the gall of the hydra he had slain. Screaming, the horses of King Diomedes raced toward the sea, but one fell and another fell, and then, as it came to a line of the foam, the third of the fierce horses fell. They were all slain with the unwearing arrows. Then Heracles took up the body of his companion, and he buried it with his proper rites, and over it he raised a column. Afterward, around that column, a city that bore the name of Heracles, his friend, was built. Toward the Euxine Sea he went. There, where the river Thermicrea flows into the sea, he saw all the abodes of the Amazons. And upon the rocks and the sea places he saw warrior women standing with drawn bows in their hands. Most dangerous did they seem to Heracles. He did not know how to approach them. He might shoot at them with his unwearing arrows, but his arrows were all shot away, and the Amazons, from their steep places, might be able to kill him with the arrows from their own bows. While he stood at a distance, wondering what he might do, a horn was sounded, and the Amazon mounted upon a white stallion and rode toward him. When the warrior woman came near, she cried out, "Heracles, the Queen Hippo's light permits you to come amongst the Amazons. Enter her tent and declare to the Queen that what has brought to you amongst the never-conquered Amazons." Heracles came to the tent of the Queen. There stood tall Hippolyte with an iron crown upon her head, and with a beautiful girdle of bronze, and an iridescent glass around her waist. Proud and fierce as a mountain eagle looked the Queen of the Amazons. Heracles did not know in what way he might conquer her. Outside the tent, the Amazons stood. They struck their shields with their spears, keeping a continuous savage din. "For what has Heracles come into our country of the Amazons?" Queen Hippolyte asked. "For the riddle you wear," said Heracles. He had his hands ready for the struggle. "It is for the riddle that giving me thy Ares, the god of war, that you have come, braving the Amazons, Heracles," said the queen. "For that," said Heracles. "I would not have you enter into strife with the Amazons," said the queen Hippolyte. And so saying, she drew off the griddle of bronze and iridescent glass, and she gave it into his hands. Heracles took the beautiful griddle into his hands. Fearful he was that some piece of guile was being played upon him, but he looked into the open eyes of the queen, and she saw that it meant no guile. He took the griddle, and he put it around his great brows. Then he thanked Hippolyte and went from the tent. He saw the Amazon standing on rocks in the steep places, with bows bent. Unchallenged, he went on, and he came to his ship, and he sailed away from that country with one more labor accomplished. The labor was followed
The labor followed was not dangerous. He sailed over the sea and he came to Crete, the land that the king Minos ruled over. And there he found, grazing in a special pasture, the bull that Poseidon had given King Minos. He laid his hands upon the bull's horns, and he struggled with him overthrew him. Then he drove the bull down to the seashore. His next labor was to take away the herd of red cattle that was owned by Mother Geryneus in the island of Erythea. In the middle of the stream of the ocean lived the monster, his herd guarded by the two-headed hound, Orthus. That hound was the brother of Cerberus, the three-headed hound that kept guard in the underworld. Mounted upon the bull given Minos by Poseidon, Heracles fared across the sea. He came even to the straits that divide Europe from Africa, and there he set up two pillars as a memorial of his journey. The pillars that Heracles that stand to this day. He and the bull rested there. Beyond was there, but Heracles thought that the bull would not be able to bear him so far. And there the sun beat upon him and drew all his strength away from him, and he was dazed and dazzled by the rays of the sun. He shouted out against the sun, and in his anger he wanted to strive against the sun. Then he drew his bow and shot arrows upward. Far, far out of the sight the arrows of Heracles went. And the sun god Helios was filled with admiration of Heracles, the man who would attempt the impossible by shooting arrows at him. Then did Helios fling down to Heracles with his golden cup. Down into the stream of the ocean fell his great gold cup of Helios. It floated there wide enough to hold all the men who might be in a ship. Heracles put the bull of Minos into the cup of Helios, and the cup bore them away toward the west, across the stream of the ocean. Thus Heracles came to the island of Erythea. All over the island struggled the red cattle of Geryneus, grazing upon the rich pastures. Heracles, leaving the bull of Minos in the cup, went upon the island. He made a club for himself out of a tree, and he went toward the cattle. The hound Orthius bayed and ran toward him. The two-headed hound that was the brother of Cerberus sprang at Heracles with poisonous foam upon his jaws. Heracles swung his club and struck the two heads off the hound. And where the foam of the hound's jaws dropped down, a poisonous plant sprang up. Heracles took up the body of the hound and swung it around and flung it far out into the ocean. When the monster Geryneus came upon him, three bodies he had instead of one. He attacked Heracles by hurling great stones at him. Heracles was hurt by the stones, and then the monster beheld the cup of Helios, and he began to hurl stones at the golden thing, and it seemed that it might sting the sea and leave Heracles without the way of getting from the island. Heracles took up his bow, and he shot arrow after arrow at the monster, and left him dead in the deep grass of the pastures. He rounded up the red cattle, the bulls and the cows, and he drove them down to the shore into the golden cup of Helios. There the bull of Minos stayed. Then back across the stream of the ocean the cup floated, and the bull of Crete and the cattle of Geryneus were brought fast slyly and through the straits called the Hellespont. No Thrace, no savage land they came. Then Heracles took the cattle out, the cup, and the cup of Helios sank in the sea. Through the wild lands of Thrace, he drove the herd of Geronius and the bull of Minos, and came into Mycenae once more. But he did not stay to speak with Eurystheus. He started off to find the garden of the Hesperides and the daughters of the evening lamp. Long did he search, but he found no one who could tell him where the garden was. And at last he went to Chiron, the mountain on Pelion. And Chiron told Heracles that the journey he would have to make to come to the Hesperides, the daughters of the evening lamp. Far did Heracles journey. Weary he was when he came to where Atlas stood, bearing the sky upon his weary shoulders. As he came near, he felt an undreamt of perfume being wafted toward him. So weary was he that with his journey and all his toils, and he would fain sink down and dream away in that evening land. But he roused himself, and he journeyed on toward where the perfume came from. Over that place, a star seemed always about to rise. He came to where the silver lattice fenced the garden, that was full quiet of the evening. Golden bees hummed through the air, and there was sound of the quiet waters. How wild and laborious the world he had come from, Heracles thought. He felt that it would be hard for him to return to that world. He saw three maidens. They stood with wreaths upon their heads, and the blossoming branches in their hands. When the maidens saw him, they came toward him crying out, "O man who has come into the garden of the Hesperides, do not go near the tree that the sleepless dragon guards." Then they went and stood by the tree as if to keep guard over it. All around were the trees that bore flowers and fruit, but this tree had golden apples amongst it, bright in great green leaves. Then they saw the guardian of the tree. Beside its trunk, a dragon lay, and Heracles came near the dragon and showed its glittering and showed its glittering scales and deadly claws. The apples were within reach, but the dragon, with its glittering with its glittering scales and claws, stood in the way. Heracles shot an arrow. Then a tremor went through Ladon, the sleepless dragon. It screamed and lay stark. The maidens cried in their grief. Heracles went to the tree, and he plucked the golden apples, and he put them into the pouch he carried. Down on the evening ground sank the Hesperides, daughters of the evening land, and he heard their laments as they went from the enchanted garden they had guarded. Back from the ends of the earth came Heracles, back from the place where Atlas stood holding the sky from his weary shoulders. He went back through Asia and Libya and Egypt and came back to Mycenae and to the palace of Eurystheus. He brought to the king the herd of Geronius. He brought to the king the bull of Minos. He brought to the king the griddle of Hippolyte. He brought to the king the golden apples of the Hesperides. And King Eurystheus, with his thin white face, sat upon his royal throne, and he looked upon all the wonderful things that the hero had brought him. Not pleased was Eurystheus, rather was he angry that one he hated to win such powerful things. He took into his hands the golden apples of the Hesperides, but this fruit was not for such as he. An eagle snatched the branch from his hand, and the eagle flew and flew until it came to where the daughters of the evening land wept in their garden. There the eagle let fall the branch of the golden apples, and the maidens set it back upon the tree, and behold, it grew as it had been growing before Heracles plucked it. And the next day, the heralds of Eurystheus came to Heracles. They told him of the last labor he would have to accomplish. This time, he would have to go down into the underworld to bring up from the king Eidyonosus a realm, Cerberus, a three-headed hound. Heracles put upon him the impenetrable lion skin and set forth once more. This might be indeed the last of his life's labors. Cerberus was not an earthly monster, and he would struggle with Cerberus in the underworld, and would have the gods of the dead against him. But Heracles went on. He journeyed into the cave of Tarion, which was an entrance to the underworld. Far, far into that dismal cave he went, and down, down, until Heracles looked upon a body that was all twisted in fright, with fright. Then he turned around and made his way back to the underworld. On the brink of the Archerion, he loosed Cerberus, and below the three-headed hound was heard again. So that was chapter 4, part 1. Bye guys, see you later. See you later, see you later, see ya. See ya later. Bye guys.